Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Now with McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and delighted to be back recording after a little bit of a break due to illness. I'll go into that in the bonus stuff for all of you on the free feed. You probably don't want to hear it, but this is an AMA. A few weeks ago, I asked for questions from you, the audience, and I got a ton through that I'm going to fly through, but this week there's a lot of shows to come. You've just heard shows recently from James Fox, from Bryce Abel, and Brent Friedman. I have Timothy Alberino coming up. I have Darcy Weir coming up, Stephen Bassett, Gary Heseltine, and others all scheduled in, including a big news update coming in the next kind of 24 hours. And then this Sunday, I've got Dan joining me for a massive roundup and discussion. A lot has been happening, a lot's been going on, but I'm really excited to be back recording today and looking forward to answering many of your questions. Now, listen, this is split into two parts. The main show for everyone you're going to hear on the free feeds, tackling some of the biggest, most thought-provoking questions around disclosure, secrecy, the nature of the phenomenon, how I personally assess this. And then I've got a bonus section for members who pay for the podcast on YouTube, Apple, Patreon, all that stuff. And if you want to sign up for a membership, it's greatly appreciated. Couple of dollars, couple of pounds a month, and you get a lot of extra content and support me directly as well. So thank you so much if you decide to do that. But yeah, you're going to get a big chunk of a show regardless. And there's some lighter, stranger questions in the bonus section as well, including some stuff that's not necessarily phenomenon related. But listen, let's dive into it. Now, how I always work these Ask Me Anythings, I've copied and pasted the questions over. Some of them I've reworded if someone has lambasted, slated, or been really derogatory towards a member of the UAP community. Whether I like them or not, I've worded it very slightly, which you'll hear and appreciate, I'm sure. And the other questions, I've not read them properly yet. And as always, I don't read through the questions thoroughly. I'll give them a quick skim over. I'm not pre-preparing my answers. Everything you hear from me here is me thinking of it on the spot as well, folks. Just for a bit of originality and authenticity, I'd like to think. So let's dive straight into it. And Ricky sent over the first question. So these were all sent over from people on YouTube, some via email, and some via the contact form at thatufopodcast.com, and also on Patreon. So thank you to everyone who contributed. Ricky says, let's assume we do get some genuinely convincing evidence declassified. Beyond information about crash retrievals and back engineering, what aspects of the UAP issue do you think governments would still keep secret, and what might remain hidden that people perhaps are not even thinking about? Great question to kick off. Obviously, this goes into that whole AD after disclosure, a book famously by Richard Dolan and Bryce Abel that many of you will have read or listened to. I think that we're not going to just be given technology overnight. I've said this before. It's not the case of, okay, we've got flying saucers, so here's a little cube for everyone to have at home for unlimited free energy. You would pay a subscription, I believe, for energy. Like, you would still pay a subscription. Different companies like Tesla and co. would basically provide you with this new clean energy system, and you'd pay for it. To varying degrees and whatnot, I don't know how that would work, but I still think that would be a big thing. They're not going to go and give everyone the secrets of how this technology works. Do you really think in 2026, with the state of the world, that we are in a place that we could be in flying cars and traversing the planet on our own? The human society is not in a good place at all. We can see that daily. No matter how blue sky thinking your view of humanity is, it's not. So we're not going to get all this wonderful technology to use, because I think most people would be sensible. There's a section of society across multiple societies that would use it for nefarious means and gains. I think the big thing about propulsion, about free energy, we wouldn't get that. We'd see some benefits, of course, across society. But I think there would be huge aspects of this that would remain secret. I still think the way disclosure is going to pan out is we're going to get a gradual disclosure. We're going to find something far away, we'll find something a bit closer, we perhaps will find there was something on Mars. All this will be revealed to the public, and then we get a little bit more. Unless we do get some kind of catastrophic disclosure where the phenomenon itself gives us a modern day Phoenix Lights, but something undeniable, unmistakable, in broad daylight, clear, over a New York, over a North Carolina, you know, over a Texas, something, Christ, over Glasgow, for all we know. Probably best thing away from Scotland, right enough, if I was the aliens. But yeah, so, and a part of that question was what might remain hidden that people perhaps are not even thinking about. I just don't think we're going to get the whole picture. I think you're going to get the question answered in the next 10 years. And I'm just throwing 10 years out there of, are we alone or not in the universe? I think will be answered with a resounding no, we are not alone. But I don't think we're going to get a wall chart on our bedrooms the next day that shows you all the different beings who are visiting us, all the different craft they have. We're not going to get that. I think what we're going to see is we're going to have slow reveals. And I love thinking sometimes, though, about that. And this might bleed into the next question as well, what that post-disclosure world will look like. Because I don't think it's a case that we got all the answers overnight. And I think we start to learn at that point, let's just use the US government as the kind of the main gatekeepers of where this information really lies. I don't think they know everything. I think they have a book that really still needs filled in with a lot of blank pages and a lot of blank paragraphs and words missing here and there about what this phenomenon is before we can write the book on it. So yeah, I do have a book I wrote, by the way, folks, Atlas of UFOs. Thank you for those who have bought it. But yeah, so really interesting question. And there's a similar theme here in the second question, so I'll move on to Mario's. So thank you for that, Ricky. Mario said, we spend a lot of time talking about if disclosure happens, when it happens, and who might deliver it. But what do you think living in a post-disclosure world would actually look like, especially in the immediate aftermath? Again, I'm reading these properly really for the first time now, folks, for a bit of a genuine answer. And I hope people appreciate that. You can tell me in the feedback if you think you'd rather have prepared answers for this stuff. I think in a post-disclosure world, let's go with we get the news announcement 6 p.m. today, right? I think you have a whole evening of debate and discussion online, on TV shows, a lot of live streams, where experts, influencers, and everyone and their fucking dog around the world want to discuss what's going on. So there'll be a real period of reflection. I then think in the following days, you'll have major news conferences, people standing up live on podiums across the world from various different disciplines. You'll have academics, you'll have scientists, you'll see astrophysicists, you'll see molecular biologists, you'll see nuclear physicists, you'll see sociologists, you'll see anthropologists, all coming forward to speak about how things may change. And I think just beginning to lay the groundwork for folks to go, okay, we have to draw a line on what we knew. We have to draw a line on what we thought. And here's how things may advance. And I think you'd probably see a period, I reckon, of around a week of a real haze, a real fog, a real blur, a daydream for everyone, where we have this new reality, this new paradigm. I think things for a week will be really messy and confusing. I think after a week, you begin to see businesses go back to normal. For example, do Starbucks drive-thrus close the next day? Probably. Do a lot of people not go into work? Yeah. But I think things soon settle that, do you know what, at the end of the month, you're going to get your gas and electric bill. You're going to have to put fuel in your car. You know, you're going to have to buy groceries. So things will begin to go back to normal pretty quickly. But a new normal, and I think it's going to be, you know, you'll be in work talking to people about this. This will be the conversation. And then how things pan out after that, I think you see a kind of 3-month period where things change. Your banks, your insurance companies all begin to build in this new world with this phenomenon as a reality. Now, what that looks like, though, I suppose it depends what your disclosure is. Is it we're just told we're not alone in something visiting? Is it that we're going to get to meet one of these beings? Is it that they've been in contact with us directly? That's a whole different question, and I think one for another day. But if people want to write in on that and ask me specifics, I'm more than happy to answer that on the next AMA. And I think that's a good one to discuss when I've got Dan on this Sunday as well, because there's a lot of different caveats. And I always like to think of those spider diagrams and, you know, what could happen, what might not happen in a post-disclosure world. But I think you're going to see a week of real confusion. And then I think you'll see a period where things go back to the new normal, where workplaces open. You know, buses have to operate, trains have to run, people have to get places, people need surgeries, people need medicines, people need to buy food. That's what's going to happen. But around that, we have this new understanding of our place in the world. I suppose then, does that change? Do global conflicts stop? Do you know what? Probably not. Do militaries realign resources? Potentially. I would say that's almost a given. But yeah, really interesting thought, really interesting. I'd love to do a listener call-in show actually on that. It's been far too long. And if you're interested in getting in touch and being part of that, just drop me a message on email or via thatufopodcast.com's contact form. And yeah, it'd be great to get you on and talk about that post-disclosure world and what you think it may look like. On to question 3. David said, if disclosure happened tomorrow, how do you think the focus of the podcast would change? And separately, what are your thoughts on Black Triangle reports, especially the repeated description of 3 white lights and a red light in the centre? So first one, I get this via email quite a lot and I tend to respond to people. Sorry if I've not responded in the last few months. I've still been so bad at getting back. It's been a bit of a hectic start to the year, but I will be responding this week to a lot of emails. How would the podcast change? So one of the questions people actually ask is, if we get that answer, does the podcast stop? Well, no. Not for me, because that's when a lot of the real questions begin, because you begin to focus in on more specific areas. Because I think right now we have such a big picture to look at with this phenomenon. Who is it that's visiting? What is it that's visiting? How often do these visits truly happen? We would begin to look at, you know, what aspects of this phenomenon are truly genuine and which have been hoaxes and fraudsters and charlatans going down the lines. I think you begin to see people, you know, I think it'd be easy to say actually folks might be ostracized from the conversation or topic depending on what their angle has been, but I just think you would see huge groups and sections hunker down and double down on their idea, because then I think everything's on the table once we get that disclosure. People would believe and disbelieve. I think if you look at COVID as an example, if COVID happened again now, most people wouldn't isolate. Most people wouldn't get a lot of folks wouldn't get the vaccine. You know, you just see these arguments happening online. So I think you would just get different camps post-disclosure around that. So for me, the podcast would just, I think, hopefully be a hub for people to come and have reasoned discussion and debate. I hope like it is now, much like the podcast Discord channel is, where you can have these conversations in a safe place without the need for ridicule or ridiculousness, and a real conversation from normal, genuine people who just understand there is something real going on here. And that's what I would hope the podcast stays and becomes in that new world, while getting to discuss this really fascinating, genuine phenomenon that we now know everyone else knows is real. Because I'm sure if you're listening to or watching this, for you, this phenomenon is real. This phenomenon has been real. Maybe it's affected you personally. Maybe you've had your own experience. I've never had an experience. I've had a couple of sightings, one particularly prominent one when I was younger. But for me, that's enough for me to know there's something to this. And then speaking to all of you, speaking to the people that I have over the years in the podcast, not that I believe every single person, but I certainly give everyone their place and allow them to tell their story. So yeah, that's for me. The podcast hopefully would become a place where people could find out what's going on, be a like-minded community for people.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And separately, David had asked, what are your thoughts on Black Triangle reports, especially descriptions of the three white lights and red light in the centre? Yeah, David Marler wrote the book, I mean, literally, on Black Triangle's estimate of the situation. Fascinating read. It's just behind me over my shoulder. And I truly encourage folks, if you haven't heard David Marler, go back and listen to my interviews with David Marler. I've done a couple of them now. Wonderful gentleman, really nice guy. And he is one of the world's foremost experts on black triangles. I always go back to Christopher Mellon on the Unidentified show talking about black triangles and what he thinks they are in a segment with David Marler. And Mellon says he believes these objects are surveying the planet and they certainly seem to move differently. These black triangles seem to be slower, more methodical. They hover almost menacingly. And I can see why a lot of folks seem to think they potentially are a human hybrid alien craft that we've worked on. Maybe we have some triangles, maybe we don't. The idea of the lights, though, specifically, that the lights on UFOs is always a fascinating discussion. Is it there to bedazzle? Is it there for navigation purposes? Is it an element of the propulsion? Is it something that we just don't understand? Could it be that these entities that have these lights on their craft, on their planet, this is completely normal? Why do we have lights? We have lights so we can see where we're going. Now, maybe that's not something they need, but maybe particularly, or potentially it is. Maybe it's a byproduct of the way the craft operates. Perhaps it's a distraction, and this is one I've heard quite often as well, and I like the idea of that they want you to look at the craft, not because they necessarily want you seeing the craft, but because they don't want you looking at something else that may be happening in the area. Thinking back to Finding Nemo, when Dory gets distracted by the shiny thing, maybe they want you to look at this because the left hand doesn't want you seeing what the right hand's doing. And maybe there's an element of that to it with any of these craft. And when it comes to black triangles, I believe the idea is that the propulsion is on each corner of the triangle. It creates some kind of gravity bubble around each corner, creating a bigger bubble. And yeah, so maybe it's a byproduct. Maybe it's just to indicate where the corners of these craft are. Who knows? It's a really interesting one. Again, I'd love to get your thoughts on that. But yeah, I think quite often, generally with UFO lights, it's potentially a little bit of a distraction. Short Stuff said, Andy, you recently asked whether global instability slows down UFO transparency or disclosure. But could it also be the other way round? Could growing pressure toward disclosure itself coincide with wider instability, media distraction or major world events that dominate the headlines? And with that in mind, do you think we're seeing right now is real progress or mostly noise? So yeah, I suppose what we're saying there, Short Stuff, is the idea that, you know, with Iran, with Epstein in the news cycle, that folks have less of an interest in UFO transparency or disclosure, or that it could slow it down. But you're seeing the opposite, perhaps, the idea that with all of this, could it speed it up? I would say if it's going to speed up, it would have to be from the point of view of the phenomenon itself and whatever entities are involved directly interacting or observing us right now. Maybe things are getting to a crescendo point. And I'm just throwing stuff out there, folks. Okay, like I say, none of this is written down. Maybe things are getting to a crescendo point where things are escalating in the Middle East. We've had the Russia-Ukraine situation. You've got China sitting, hovering, ready to invade Taiwan. You've got all these powder keg situations ready to go. You've got whole countries and continents at loggerheads with each other. People are unhappy. The world is not a happy place to live in overall right now? Well, I've just turned 40 last week. And when you think of my 40 years, is this the happiest time for the world situation? Probably not. I don't think it is. Of course, there have been difficult times the world has gone through, and perhaps it goes through these cycles. But if you were a non-human intelligence observing this from afar or even up close, is this the time you would want to get involved? If you were a friendly race, you might say, let's go down and help. But surely they would have done that by now. There's been ample chances for a non-human intelligence to come down and interfere and stop the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs going off, any number of nuclear explosions going off. So I don't think that one's really on the table anymore. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, folks, but folks who think that non-human intelligence wouldn't allow nuclear war, they've not stopped most of the nuclear weapons going off in the past. So for me, that one is far less likely. It would be perhaps more akin they would come down and use this as a period. And I suppose let's get a little bit crazy with it then. The idea that we have hybrid alien beings already on this planet, perhaps they're involved in this. Perhaps they are pushing us towards this. The idea that the world is in this period of instability. Going back to thinking about Tom DeLonge and some of the conversations he had around some of these entities feed on negativity and fear, then do you know what? Right now, they must be absolutely full to the brim with the fear and negativity they're managing to get off this planet. I often liken it to Monsters, Inc., where they power the doors and they power the monster world with screams of children, but then they find out laughter's 10 times more powerful. Well, right now, we're not at the laughter stage yet. We are still powering something with our screams, with our fear. And do you see that changing any day immediately? I hope I'm not just being negative, folks. Maybe it's the Scottish in me, but it's not the greatest world to live in right now, is it? And as a father of children, you look at the future and think, you know, what kind of world are they going to be growing up in? Do I think it's progress right now or noise? I think it's both. I think both can be true. I think we are seeing some true progress. I think, and I'm going to talk about this on the news update, the whole aliens.gov or alien.gov, both domains have been registered by the US government. Now, I know a lot of folks are saying this could end up being like an illegal aliens or, you know, for reporting illegal immigrants and whatnot. I don't think it will be. I think it will be a platform to publish some files, some photographs, potentially some videos of anomalous phenomena. But how much we get, I don't know. And it is, we have a signal-to-noise ratio right now, which is really messy. The subject is so busy right now. It's incredibly busy, and you're going to hear that in this week's news update and when me and Dan break it down at the end of the week too. But by God, it's so difficult to separate the noise, the wheat from the chaff, as they say. But good question, though. Eagle says, with Donald Trump recently saying he would release more UFO files, some in the community are speculating that people connected to alleged secret programs could feel pressure if real disclosure happens. More broadly, when individuals linked to these stories disappear from public view or go quiet, do you think the community sometimes overinterprets that, or could pressure behind the scenes genuinely change how people behave? So yeah, let's look at a Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, for example. Now, she came out several years ago quite the advocate for UAP transparency, you know, to move this topic forward, and gave some individuals quite the grilling in those first hearings, Bray and Moultrie. And I'm not, hopefully not getting my hearings confused, but she also had another one with the Arrow guy at the time. Was it Kirkpatrick? I can't remember at the time, but yeah. But Senator Kirsten Gillibrand seemed really all in on this, and then she went really quiet. Now, is that because she has a job to do, and her day, 9 till 5, or from morning till night time, is taken up by UFOs, UAP? No, it probably takes up quite a small amount of her day. But then, on the other hand, when you do have someone with that kind of sway, with that kind of power, and they begin to talk about something that gets people a little nervous or raises some eyebrows in the background, especially the military-industrial complex, do they get pressure? Now, these people need funding, these people need support. And I imagine it's the folks quietly in the background that we don't hear named, unless you're UAP Gerb and you're throwing names out left, right and centre. Then I wonder how easy it is for many of these folks to put a quiet word in their ear and talk about re-election. We've got midterms coming up in the United States, don't we, in the coming months. I wonder how much that plays into the conversations we hear. The only folks that truly seem to have this bit in their teeth for UAP transparency and really pushing this forward seem to be Eric Burleson, Tim Burchett and Anna Polina Luna. Now, of course, there are others like Jared Moskowitz and co who do keep involved. But those three really seem to be keeping this in the headlines. It seems to be have come, become their thing. So, yeah, and they have not let it go away. And I think you have to commend them for that, whatever you think of their politics. From a UAP point of view, they haven't let it go. And I'm not saying they're flawless or perfect by any means. But, yeah, when I just don't think these people can stay in the limelight with this 24/7. And I'm surprised, to be honest, the congressmen and women have stayed in it as long as they have, which is kudos to them. Yeah, I think you see folks disappear for various reasons, because they get book deals, they sign movie and TV deals. I think money does come into it for a lot of folks, and that's not just necessarily to say for them it's not the right thing to do to support families and co and whatnot. But yeah, you can look at folks like David Grush, who was quite prominent and pretty public for a short time and then has gone, you could say, quiet. But look at the pushback he had. Look at the pressure he had. Look at the shit him and his family went through. But then you hear he is now working behind the scenes with Eric Burleson, and how much of what we see is now David Grush using Burleson as a vehicle to get done what he needs to get done, because Burleson's a congressman and perhaps a lot safer than David Grush is coming out and doing what he needs to do. Maybe it's easier for David Grush to work quietly in the background. I often wonder then, are you looking at people like Jake Barber and Skywatcher, which seems to have been a real disappointment, where over a year ago they made some big promises and big claims. And I think after James Fowler left, that really does seem to have impacted them. We've heard all kinds of stories around that. But yeah. But do I think the community overinterprets this? Yes, sometimes they do. Sometimes the community needs to find the conspiracy in everything. But right now, I don't necessarily blame people for that completely. Some people feel it, absolutely, for clicks and likes and all that kind of stuff. But I think there is some genuine... There's a lot of movement going on behind the scenes. And I know right now we've got Matthew Brown and Dylan Borland. Matthew Brown particularly coming out and speaking about working with Dylan Borland on some things coming down the pipeline as well on the recent weaponized. So yeah, I look forward to seeing what's happening. There are things moving. And I wonder, as we get towards those US midterms, how that affects the conversation politically. But it's not the be-all and end-all, folks. So, Chris, question six. Thank you, everyone who sent them in so far. Chris said, a lot of recent UFO discussion focuses on biologics, but given the distances between stars, wouldn't it make more sense that any visiting technology would be autonomous probes, AI systems, or something non-biological, rather than physical beings? Why do you think the conversation leans so strongly towards physical aliens? I think back in the day, back in the 40s and 50s, I don't think you would have automatically gone to that. It's really to do with the language of the time, I think, plays a big part in this. I think it was clear that, for example, in Roswell, something crashed and there were bodies. And at the time, I don't think you'd necessarily jump to robots or AI systems, would you? That wouldn't really be in the language of almost anyone. Whereas now, I just think that's the common thing. If I ask you, you know, what does Santa Claus look like? You say he's got a red suit and, you know, a white beard. But that's an image Coca-Cola portrayed. But that's what we think of. So it just depends what's in the popular psyche, what's in the zeitgeist. And it's really simple for folks to hear aliens. They think flying saucers. They think alien beings. They think greys, big grey heads, little bodies, big black eyes. We know the subject is so much more complex and difficult to discuss than just that. I do agree it makes more sense that something would be sending robots, AI, third generation clones. You hear all these different terms thrown out. But I think it's a multifaceted phenomena. I think you do have physical beings coming here. I think you do have AI robots. I think something like the Tic Tac, for example, is a really advanced drone. I don't think it's human. I think all of the above is potentially true when it comes to this subject. And I don't think that's me sitting on the fence like I like to do normally. I just think that would be the true situation. Now, I think it's just a case of even... Look at drones. Drones over the last kind of 5 to 10 years has become such a buzzword to use. The conversation, it's easy to throw the word drone out there. It's understandable because it's a new technology. It's a technology that we understand a base level of. But when people say it wasn't a drone, we don't know what all the drones look like. There are some really fascinating, incredible pieces of kit out there. I've seen some amazing drones that are being used in the war in videos online, and they don't look like your standard quadcopter drone. I think when people think drone, that's the first thing your mind goes to. If I say to you, think of a drone, I imagine you're thinking of a quadcopter, four fans on each side, little drone, maybe a camera on it. Drones come in all shapes and sizes, as do these beings. But for the public, an alien looks like a little grey. And when we say drone, we think quadcopter drone. But things are more complex than that, and it's just the language of the time. So yeah, it does make sense, the distance between stars. But I think when you think of distance, I always go back to looking back to before we had powered flight, or even before we had boats. People stood on the shores and would look out across an ocean, and would probably think it impossible to travel that distance to get somewhere else. But now, if you're planning going on holiday and flying somewhere, you think, oh, 6-hour flight, God, that seems so long. But is it? It's just what you're used to in terms of technology and how things advance. Perhaps something else just figured it out. Perhaps something is more advanced than us. Our technology keeps getting better, keeps getting faster, keeps getting more efficient. And you're going to get to that point sometime in the future, I'm sure, where you can travel these greater distances. But again, there's an assumption that many of these things are travelling greater distances. I think some of these distances are far shorter in terms of A to B than we could know, definitely. Cloudy says, if aliens exist, why do you think they have not simply revealed themselves openly to the whole world? Why would any intelligence deal only with governments or even just a handful of people, rather than humanity as a whole? And does that possibility make more sense if the phenomenon is not alien in the simple sense at all? For that last part, yes, I think...
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
There's a lot of lore in mythology and in legend in this topic. Now, have aliens landed, asked to speak to the president? I don't think that would be the case. If that was going to be the case, another society, a non-human society, would have to be quite similar to us in terms of a hierarchy, where they have leaders and they have a leadership group to know that let's go and speak to them. Because I think it's what we would probably do if we traversed the galaxy Star Trek style. You would want to land on a planet and probably not just land in the middle of someone's street. You don't know where you are, who you're speaking to, or what you're speaking to. You would want to speak to a leadership team. that's probably just normal. I think even it's a very human way to look at this, isn't it? If you in your workplace travel to another workplace for some kind of job, you're setting up a new site, you're meeting new teams, you don't walk in and speak to the janitor, do you? No disrespect to that, but you want to walk in and speak to someone in charge to get a picture. You see authority in that, you see credibility in that. So it makes sense from a human perspective, but I think it only makes sense if a non-human intelligence would have a similar structure to how we work. Otherwise, I think that's where you get beings turning up in random places, abductions happening. I think the Phoenix Lights, for example, whatever that was, wasn't a craft that was coming to meet our governments. That was something that was potentially just passing through. Perhaps it was a one-off, who knows? But I think this, again, points to different phenomena all being at play at the same time. Why have aliens not just revealed themselves to the whole world? I wonder, would we? And again, there's this idea, and I think this is a really big conversation to have, but hopefully I'm going to put this across in the right way. Something I often think about is if I was a non-human intelligence on another planet, for example, we have astronauts, don't we? Not everyone's an astronaut. So 0.0001% of the world's population has ever or will ever be astronauts. It takes a lot of training. It takes a specially selected, you know, group of people to go through all kinds of tests, and it takes the creme de la creme, the very best, to even apply and try and become an astronaut. And even then, most of those don't make it to the final programs. Why wouldn't an alien civilization be the same? Are we assuming these civilizations all have flying saucers and can all just traverse the galaxy and universe as they wish? Maybe they also need permission or permits to leave where they are. Those are all conversations, going back to those earlier questions I often think about in my head, that are kind of probably bigger discussions for a back and forward with various people. But yeah, I think you have to think of it that way for me. Are these beings coming here on specific missions? They have been sent with a time scale, for example. Or are they autonomous robots like we discussed before? Are they being sent off to explore with a particular goal in mind? Or are they just being sent off in all different directions across the galaxy and the universe to see what they come across? And they are essentially disposable. I think these would all be reasons to think, well, they've not openly announced themselves to the world because they've no reason to do that. There's nothing to say they would. Again, would we do that? Would we land somewhere else and just come out and say, hi, everyone? No, you would have to work out who these beings were, what their plans would be, how they're going to react. Do you want to be able to trace back to where you've come from even? Do you want to be able to stay quiet in case things go wrong? So yeah, interesting question. I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that. Why haven't aliens just revealed themselves to the whole world? And maybe some of your thoughts on what I've just said as well. You may have noticed at this point, folks, I've tried to group these questions in a little bit of a pattern, so things are relatively similar. It's not that all the questions were the same. I've just grouped them into like disclosure and various different aspects. So hopefully that's working out for you. Dahlia, always good to hear from Dahlia, the president of Chickenlandia. Dahlia says, do you think that with recent public revelations about powerful elites and shocking real-world abuses, ordinary people may now be more willing to consider realities that once sounded completely unbelievable, including the possibility of long-term hidden contact or a deeper non-human presence? Dahlia, yes. I think the idea that, again, it reminds me of COVID, when for a while we had this thing around up next are the aliens, because we had COVID, then straight into the Russian conflicts, and people were just sick. It was one thing after another. And maybe we are just so numb to this now that I think the public would react a lot better now than they would have perhaps 30, 40, 50 years ago to the confirmation we are no longer alone. And specifically to that idea of long-term hidden contact or a deeper non-human presence. I think the deeper non-human presence is the one there where you're going to have to confirm, do you know what, not only are we not alone, but something is here with us and has been for a long time. And I don't want to start connecting dots that maybe aren't there, but this seems to be the subject of the, you know, Disclosure Day, Steven Spielberg's new movie, that something is here, something is amongst us, something that is a hybrid entity is a part of this planet too. And I think if that's something that comes out as part of Disclosure, now that's a really interesting question. And I think that raises a lot of uncertainty across the planet for people. And that's one thing that really interests me, folks. When people say, that the world itself is ready for disclosure. I think the world is ready to find out we're not alone. That's absolutely fine. It's world-changing. But people are ready to hear. Do you know what? Yes, aliens are out there. There are non-human entities interacting with us in different ways. But if you confirm there's a non-human presence already with us on this planet, I think that sets, and I'll use the fox amongst the pigeons, the fox amongst the chickens for Dahlia's purposes here. I think that's one that really unsettles a lot of people, and maybe folks aren't quite ready for that on a larger scale. Maybe that's one that you then have to integrate into the conversation as it goes along. Really interesting idea though. Great question, Dahlia. Swedek said a couple of questions for me, so I'll try and answer these a little bit closer together here. So what would genuinely convince you that the entire modern disclosure narrative is wrong? So he sent a few questions, so I'll answer these quite quick. I think I'm really open to what is the modern disclosure narrative though? I think we've got so many different narratives emerge now where you have the Sol Foundation and what they are trying to do. I think you've got the whole ATIP, OSAP idea. James Lakatsky in his recent book has come out and said that, you know, OSAP changed to Kona Blue and kept going. You've got academics like Avi Loeb trying to look for things. And I think you're starting to see more and more mainstream get involved in the conversation. So I don't entirely understand what the modern disclosure narrative is anymore. I think it's all very, very separate and different. I think if you go back to 2020, 2021, Lou Elizondo kind of led the charge for a while. I don't think we're in that place anymore. I think there's various different camps, and I think the modern disclosure narrative is a little bit all over the place, to be honest. So I think there's going to be a lot wrong when all is said and done. What single piece of evidence would you count as definitive proof? I think obviously I've had my own sighting. I don't need that. But I think when we're talking about this, for people to come out and understand that, yes, I think we need to see a video shown on the news, major news networks all showing the same video that shows something truly anomalous that makes people sit up off their seat. Thinking back to all those famous alien UFO movies you've seen where there's that moment where the world realises we're not alone, I think we need something that makes people stand up off their chairs and go, wow, that's something different. And I often think maybe something like the Tic Tac alongside one of those jets with Fravor, that 4K HD video of the thing 10, 15 feet away, no bloodiness, no black and white, colour, up close. You can make out the craft, you can make out the skin of the craft, you can see there's no propulsion, no windows, no rivets, nothing unmistakable, nothing that could be a balloon, no quote-unquote Hellfire missiles bouncing off of a craft that could be something deflating, nothing that can be interpreted. We have to be able to look at a video and not see interpretation. We have to be able to see it for what it is. And I don't think, even right now, with all the videos we have out there, and I'm talking about those official ones that have been leaked, there is nothing that still isn't open to potentially being interpreted as something else, because experts from all different sides will tell you what you're looking at, and they don't all say the same thing. We need something that everyone looks at, and that's not to say they're not going to look at it and say that this piece of evidence is a really advanced drone or it's top secret Chinese technology. That's fine, but we need something that we can look at all together and say, that doesn't look right. That looks incredibly strange. And I think for me, that is where you get something akin to definitive proof. And that's before we literally have the flying saucer land on the White House lawn with, you know, Skinny Bob come out of it. And one other question from Swedneck. Actually, there's a few more. And if we applied the same standards of evidence used in medicine or physics, how many UFO cases do you think would really survive? Probably as many as we have now, to be honest, Swedneck. I think there's a lot of UFO cases that are just... Again, let me use the Hellfire missile one from the Congress the other year. And I know I got a lot of flack from people for not being overly convinced by it. The initial video, the first time I watched it, looked really interesting, but I watched it alongside folks in the Discord chat, and very quickly a few folks were like, that looks like it's going through the object and it looks like it's deflating a huge kind of targeting balloon. And we're not talking helium balloon you would have at a birthday party here, folks, a really big military style balloon or object that was made to be passed through. I think we have some really interesting cases And I still go with that 3 to 5% of cases are truly astounding and genuine. Everything else is probably misidentifications, Starlink satellites, top secret tech that's been misidentified, or just people thinking they've seen something but they haven't. And do you know what? For me, that's enough. That's absolutely fine. And that's what I try and stick to on this podcast. Swedneck, yeah, God, you're sitting in loads of questions. I totally forgot. So yeah, let's fire through these. What evidence is there that disinformation operations around UFOs have actually taken place? Is that discussed seriously on the more official side of the subject? And what if the phenomenon is real but ultimately unknowable to human beings? So what evidence is there that disinformation operations around UFOs have taken place? I think you see... What... So, trying to put this the right way. There are officials that have come out and said one thing for quite some time and then made some interesting mistakes. And look, for example, Lou Elizondo, I'm not saying this is disinformation, but to hold up pictures of irrigation fields or reflections of chandeliers is really disappointing. Now, is that disinformation? For a lot of people, that can be. Or is that just human error or no one's infallible? I'll let you make up your mind on that. I think you have seen online a lot of mainstream or major names and journalists constantly push the idea that there's nothing to this, but go out their way to make a point of saying there's nothing to this and almost have it be a hobby to be disparaging. I think when you look at Sean Kirkpatrick, it was either he just really, really, really doesn't give a shit about the UFO topic, or he has went out his way to dismiss everything but completely ignore the fact that he is himself has had to say there are things we cannot explain. And like I've just said, folks, that's the interesting stuff. And there's also the idea that when it comes to disinformation, I think a lot of the UFO community and topic and some of the influencers, I'm going to do that in quotation marks, that spend a lot of time on social media, probably more time than they should, don't help the topic with a lot of the BS that they constantly push. And people don't get held to task on that enough. Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with being wrong and holding your hand up. For love of God, I've been wrong. But I'd like to think I at least say, do you know what? Yeah, I called that one wrong. I might share an opinion that could be wrong, could be right. But I think there are folks online who constantly push something, and then when it comes to the fact they've just done it for engagement, clicks and likes, and just to... It makes a mockery of the topic, and it really doesn't help anyone. But they just move on to the next BS or bullshit they're trying to push, and again, don't get called out. And that for me gets really frustrating. And that's a different kind of disinformation. And that's disinformation from the inside that you don't need the intelligence community to push, because some of the UFO community will do it to themselves. And it's self-defeating, it really is. And the idea, what if the phenomenon is real but ultimately unknowable to human beings? I think there could be aspects of this phenomenon that's truly like that. I think later on I've got a question about, there's a question around, you know, life after death and the parallels to the UFO topic. But yeah, I think there may be aspects of this conversation that literally the human mind can't comprehend. We can understand at a base level, but it's like someone right now trying to explain nuclear physics to me. I might understand the gist of what they're saying. Put this molecule and this molecule together, goes boom. Okay. But try and understand it in any bigger way. I can't. I just don't have the capacity to do that. It's not in my wheelhouse. And it may be for humanity that some of this topic is like that. And you don't find out truly until you're on the other side of whatever the other side of this is. Maybe it's the first side of many to go into 5D chess. But yeah, I think there are aspects of the phenomenon, not all of it, but some of it, that is ultimately unknowable to human beings. And Swedneck, final question, which guest has changed your mind the most, and is there any topic you've avoided because it might upset parts of the UFO community? Oh, good question. There might be a cut here while I think about this one for a minute. So which guest has changed my mind the most? Okay, so I'm going to pick two guests, and I had to think about this there before. I'm going to go with Diana Pasulka and George Knapp. They have two very different backgrounds. They have really interesting ways to come at this conversation. I think Diana Pasulka coming into this more recently, of course, than George Knapp, but having that religious history background, having the many contacts that she did so early on, I think there's a really a really interesting way she frames the conversation that I find amazing. I'm really looking forward to her new book coming out in a couple of months. I've got a lot of time for Diana Pasulka. I enjoy her work. I enjoy when she speaks. I think there's an authenticity to what she says. So yeah, Diana Pasulka is definitely up there. And I think George Knapp, for his longevity, for the work he's done, I think, and I'm going to say here, I get obviously to speak to George whenever we have spoken on the podcast. I get some time before and after the interview, and he's such a nice guy, and I wish I could show, and I think people tend to think that anyway about George. I think there's an element of him when I'm having those interactions that, you know, you can just get a read on someone, and you can always be wrong, but I just feel George is in this for all the right reasons, and he's done a lot of great work.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
He does not have a perfect record. No one does. But I think he has one of the best. So the work of Pasulka, the work of Knapp, both of those. And I'm sure if I looked further, there'd be a few more names I would throw in there. But yeah, those two for me are two names that I greatly appreciate the work they have done and what they do and continue to do on the topic. And any topic I've avoided because it might upset parts of the community, I don't think I've ever avoided anything because it would upset people. There's some stuff, for example, I've never really asked Mick West to come on or the kind of debunkery section, not because it would upset folks, but because it's a difficult conversation for me to have when someone just wants to sit there and say, yes, but it could be this, and they're not going to change their mind or even be open to other views because their mind's made up. So people like Mick West, I'm like, maybe in the future, maybe he wouldn't even want to come on. But stuff like that, I just don't think I would be particularly interested in having that kind of close-minded conversation. But then again, who knows? Things always change. Bret Hart once went back to WWE, you know, when no one thought that was possible. And I think some of the stuff I do avoid, not because it would upset parts of the community, everything's going to upset someone. It's 2026, people like getting upset, don't they? But, you know, the whole, like, Palladian being stuff, and I get a lot of emails from folks looking to come on and be guests who have a book or have an experience where they've been taken to far off places, and yeah, I really struggle with that whole Zeta Reticulans came and take me on a regular basis on their craft for a day trip to this place, and I use my crystals to summon them, and I struggle with it. I really struggle with it, folks. And I think that's where, you know, when you look at some of these conferences and they have 50 guests, which I always think is a wild... Some of these things are far too big. You're better with 4 or 5 or 6 really good, credible names than 50 randoms. But yeah, like some of these conferences, and you look at what these people's expertise are, and I'm like, for the love of Christ, what are they talking about? I just think it's a mixture of people making it up for money and people making it up for... because they have some kind of mental illness, to be honest. It's, yeah, so there's elements of that I just avoid myself. But yeah, it's each to their own, because people listening to this, there's all different folks of all different interests in the UFO topic, and I'm not here to disparage any of those by any way, shape or form. Folks, I still have like 40 questions to go through here. So what we might do is start wrapping up this as a part one, and I'll record the rest later on. I didn't expect it to go as long as it did. The real Stormy is where we were, said, who is the experiencer or whistleblower you believe the most? And what do you think is the most credible UAP or NHI report? So first one, who is the experiencer or whistleblower you believe the most? Listen, whistleblower, first off, David Grush coming forward, how he did and when he did, is David Grush for me would be proof there is a huge psyop here, a huge disinformation campaign. If he could be totally disproven, that would be a huge body blow to the credibility of any official government UFO disclosure or progress. I don't believe that's the case. I think David Grush is a really credible individual. One of the few in this topic that I've never had any interaction with either. I would love to speak to David Grush, as I'm sure everybody else would. But, you know, I appreciate why he keeps himself to himself. But yeah, Grush changed the game. Grush was a real game changer. And I think if you look at the plots on the graph of the UFO conversation, going back to Roswell, going back to Blue Book, Betty and Barney Hill, the Phoenix Lights, Bob Lazar, I then think you've got 2017 with the New York Times article as a game-changing moment for the conversation. I then think the only truly genuine next plot point on that is David Grush. And as it stands, I don't think we've got the next one yet. Not yet, anyway. Yeah, and I think that says something for me. And if you want an experiencer as well, there's a few really credible experiencers. There are some well-known ones that I struggle with their stories, to be honest. Some of them I've spoken to. I'm not going to name names, people, because that's not fair. But what I will say, I do find the Terry Lovelace story incredibly interesting. Terry's not in the best of health at the minute, and I wish him all the best. I've been very fortunate to speak to Terry on a couple of occasions. Please go back and listen to those. But yeah, so Terry Lovelace, his story is an incredibly interesting one, really moving one as well. And I think what interested me is after the first time I spoke to Terry, he messaged me a couple of weeks after it came out to say, in the podcast, it was much earlier on in the podcast than it is now. I've been going almost 6 years. It had only been going it was 3 years ago, I think, I spoke to him for the first time. And he emailed me to say he had a huge response from listeners of this podcast when the audience wasn't even as big as it is now. And I appreciate the audience, whatever size it is. And that really touched me. And he was genuinely moved by the, not just the book sales went through the roof for him at the time, but he was like, yeah, people getting in touch with him who were like, I heard you on with Andy in that UFO podcast. And he was really moved by it. So yeah, Terry Lovelace is an experiencer, one among many. And whistleblowers, David Grush, I think, is, yeah, the guy at the minute. And what is the most credible UAP or NHI report? I'm not entirely sure what you're asking there. If you get in touch with me, Stormy, and let me know, follow up on that one, what exactly you mean. But I suppose if we're looking at, do you mean sighting or historical? Tell you what, follow up with that one and let me know what the actual question was there and I'll get back to you on it. And do you know what? Let's finish off with this one today, folks. That's like an hour and I've still got 2/3 of this to record, including the bonus stuff as well. So forgive me, I'll answer this question, then I'll tell you a little bit about why we had like a delay in recording the last week or two. So Farrell Capper said, and I hope I pronounced that right, what's the most intriguing part of the phenomenon to you personally? The most intriguing part of the phenomenon, I think for me, is how multifaceted it is. And that's something that I would really have to sit and map out. I think I would need to get someone with artistic skills to draw it for me. To go from, you know, you start this journey of, there are aliens. When I was a kid, there was aliens coming from other planets and flying saucers to this planet, and they're visiting us. And that's mind-blowing as a kid. That's really interesting. And then as I've done the podcast and as I've gotten older and the more people I speak to and I allow myself and my opinion to be really fluid and change, the idea there is so much going on with this where there is an aspect the military is involved in government that they are being interacted with. And I know Russia, China, the US, the North Koreans, they all fucking spy on each other. They've all got top secret tech. There is a huge aspect to this phenomenon that goes on. I'm not talking about that. But I want the aspect of the phenomenon that is interacting and observing and toying with the military. But then you have a separate thing going on where people are being abducted and people are being interacted with, then a separate aspect where these things just appear to fly by. For example, the Phoenix Lights, for example, the thing I saw back in the 90s in Glasgow, you know, this huge Ferris wheel type object, really low down on its side, spinning incredibly fast. Why are people seeing these? Then looking at, you know, Rua, Zimbabwe, the aerial school incidents, Westall in Australia, which is the 60th anniversary next month. Why are school children then seeing these types of objects? That to me doesn't seem to be the same beings that are interacting with the military. The same objects that are interacting with the military don't seem to be the same beings that are abducting people. I think that to me points to this being such a wide-ranging phenomenon that multiple different types of beings and entities are interacting with us in different ways, shapes and form. And the most intriguing part, if you want me to drill down further into that, is how much knowledge do they have of each other? I'm removing humanity from that picture altogether. Do they know about each other? Do they interact? Do they have contact? Again, I've said before, imagine the Greys landed on the White House lawn and we've got Donald Trump beside them, you know, having the, you know, welcome to Earth, it's great to have you here. Thank you for picking America, you know. Not this administration wanted to see you. That's my Trump folks. And you've got the Greys, and they get asked about, you know, you've got the black triangles as well, and maybe the Greys say, we don't have black triangles, we don't know what those are, or maybe they do. So that whole aspect of this phenomenon really intrigues me, how they are all connected or not, and what they know about each other. That could be really, really telling as to, are some hostile, are some friendly, are some benevolent, malevolent, are some just kind of neutral in all of it. And that really interests me. Folks, thank you so much for listening and watching. I really thought this whole show, about 40 questions, would have been a lot quicker than this. But in a couple of days' time, you're going to hear a big news update from me, where I'm going to dig into loads of news stories from the last week or so. I've got Dan on this Sunday, where I'll maybe keep some of these questions even for there, or go back over a few different aspects of the conversation, doing a bit of a recap on the first few months of the year as to where things are in the conversation. So if you want to get any questions over for myself and Dan, please email ufouapam@gmail.com or use the contact form at thatufopodcast.com/contact and get in touch with us on there, and I'll send those over. So we've got news updates, I've got lots of guests coming in the coming weeks. Like I say, a few of those I've had to put off. Thank you to everyone who's listened to Brent and Bryce on the Sound, Light and Frequency podcast show. Thanks to those who've listened to my James Fox interview, sent over feedback on that. Personally, folks, a couple of rough weeks. I competed at a High Rocks event in Glasgow, HYROX, if you want to look up what that is, and it took a lot out of me physically. If you see what the event was, I quite like my fitness stuff, believe it or not. I'm not as fat as I look, or unfit even as I look. But last week I turned 40, and I spent most of the week not being able to eat much and in considerable pain. But I'm still in a bit of pain right now. I can only sit for about an hour before my back gets really sore. But I'm getting there. I'm getting better. And it's just been a bit of a tough week to get through. So thank you to everyone who's waited in that time. I hope to have a few more shows out. This has been a lot of fun, a lot of great questions. And if you want to send over a question for the AMA, I can add into one of the next shows, please get in touch. It's amazing that I hear from so many people, and I love hearing from the same people. It's great, the people I'm in regular contact with, and I appreciate them. I hear from folks now and again who are first-time people getting in touch, but they've listened for years. Less than 1% of folks who listen to this podcast have ever been in touch with me. And if you're listening to this now, whether you're new, whether you're old, or whether you've been here a little while, get in touch, drop me a message and just say hi. Let me know how you found the podcast and ask a question, because it's always great to hear fresh perspectives and fresh questions. Folks, I really hope you've enjoyed this Ask Me Anything. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And if you've got those couple of spare pounds, euros, dollars, whatever it may be, and you can sign up to a subscription, you'll hear no adverts, get early access and get bonus content as well. And it all supports That UFO Podcast and me personally. So thank you so much, and I'll speak to you all very soon.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moto Casino,
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.